Okay, this morning I want to talk to you about lookalikes. Now, has anyone seen this story? It's a little bit old. So, this guy was caught stealing from a shop. He'd obviously felt a little bit thirsty and he'd gone to get himself a drink. And he'd stolen it. But the thing was, this guy here looks like this guy here. Does anyone know who this guy over here is? David Schwimmer, also known as Ross from Friends. So when they said Ross from Friends has been caught taking some beer from the place without sending, Ross from Friends, David Schwimmer, decided to actually go and recreate the picture just for fun. And I love that sort of thing. That's great, isn't it? Now, you can download an app on your phone and discover who you look like. Incredibly clever technology can tell you which famous person you look like. And this is me. Apparently, I don't see it, but apparently I look like Ryan Eggold, who's an actor, if you don't know. The likeness is uncanny, isn't it? But I'm going to ask you, and you can not shout out, but speak out. Who is the family lookalike? So who is related to this? Reese Witherspoon. Some of you are going to be rubbish at this. I would be useless. But well done, Kate. It is Reese Witherspoon and her daughter. Okay. You're not allowed to answer this next one. Okay. Who's the father? Will Smith. Yeah, that one was a bit easier. Okay. Who's the daughter? Any guesses? A singer? Beyonce, yeah, well done. There you go. And then the next one. Who's the father? David Beckham, yeah. That is David Beckham, and they all kind of look like him. But the question that you have to ask is, but what about pets? People apparently look like their pets. I don't know whether they start looking like their pets or whether they grow to look more like each other. Sorry, I'm in the way there. Or my favourite. I mean, almost exactly the same. But I know that some of you don't really like dogs. I know Peter and Pamela, big fans of cats. So, whose cat is this? Donald Trump, yeah. The cat's a bit lonely at the minute. Okay, just a bit of fun. We're going to return to that in a minute. Okay, notices. I keep saying this, but we're still waiting for your arrival at the Tuesday morning prayer meeting. 7 o'clock. The code has gone out on our Facebook, on our WhatsApp group. If you've not joined us yet, you need to join us. I want to encourage you. Praying together is great. It encourages you. It helps us encounter God. It's brilliant. So if you've not joined us yet and you haven't got the code, come and see me afterwards. I will be outside in the wet. You can come and see me and I'll give you the code. I mentioned it last week, but we're doing some DVDs for those who can't be here. If you know anyone who can't be here at the minute, they can't connect online, but they would like to be part of what we're doing, please see me and I'll print a DVD and you can have it for that person. Okay, as you came in, you probably got a little bit of paper. Next Sunday is our harvest celebration. And as part of our harvest celebration, oh, it's not come up. Oh dear. You should have got a list telling you what to bring. Now, we do a community fridge here, which is run through the Bromley Food Partnership. I think that's the correct terminology. But this is separate from that, but very closely linked. So Food Bank, anyone can access Food Bank. You can get a token, a certificate from your doctor, and you go and you can pick up 3 days of emergency supplies. Neil himself, if you're in need of food or you know someone who is, Neil can sign off vouchers and you get bags of toilet rolls, of tea, coffee, 3-day supply. And this is one of the ways that the churches and others are seeking to help with the needs of food poverty. Now, to gather stuff for that, we can't bring in lettuce or things like that. It's stuff that will go into storage and then will be sent out. So it's longer life things. If you look on your list, you can see what it is. But this is really key. This, I don't know how many people they fed last year, but many, many people, many food parcels go out. And we collect each week. We've got a box at the back. You can bring stuff in every week. So if you have some things left over, you can put them in and they go each week. But next Sunday, we're going to take a big amount of food and we're going to take it all to Food Bank so that it can go to those who are in need. So please take your list with you. Go to your shop if you can. If you're able to afford it, just pick up a few extra bits next Sunday and then we're going to lay them all out the front and we're going to send that off to bless those who are finding this time hard. It will go obviously all the way into winter. So I encourage you. It's a great way that we give. We've been given things by God and it's great to be able to give that on. Anything else I need to say about that? I think I've probably covered it all. Yes. Yep. So if you don't have time to get shopping or you just easier, you can give a cash gift. Okay, we're going to press on in a minute. But I want to encourage the children, you can open your goodie bags now. And you've got some bits to do. You've got a sheet of paper. Has it gone out? Yeah. You've got a sheet of paper. You've got a word search to do, which you might have seen some of the answers earlier. I do need to explain the tin foil. So the tin foil in there is for you to craft very carefully a cup or a goblet from your piece of foil to see if you can make something with it. If you can actually drink from it, I mean, that would be incredible, wouldn't it? But you're going to try and make a cup of some sort from your foil. Okay, that's going to make lots of noise, which we haven't really thought about, but that's fine. We're family together. Okay, I started a minute ago by talking to you about look-alike parents, look-alike animals. And the truth is, we all tend to look like those we're related to. Whether you like it or not, you probably look a little bit like someone you're related to. But the thing is, you also share their characteristics. There's often personality traits, particularly in parents, that come down to children. And you see that. Now, the good news is, if you think, I don't want to be like that, the good news is that God wants to make you more like himself. That actually, as we come to Jesus, as we become part of his family, that he wants to stamp his image on us and make us more like him. So that's good news. But we're going to look at, today, we're going to look at, you might think, what on earth has this got to do with Daniel 5? We're going to look at the writings on the wall. We're going to look at the next passage, and it shows that the way weakness from one generation can be passed on to the other. And we're going to have a little look at this morning. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to read Daniel chapter 5. And it says this. King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of 1,000. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem be brought, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. And the king, his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's colour changed and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, the astrologers. The king declared to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be third ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed, and his colour changed, and his lords were perplexed. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting hall, and the queen declared, "O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your colour change. There is a man in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans and astrologers. Because an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles and solve problems were found in Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, "You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom my father brought from Judah. I have heard from you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself, and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty, and because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And the vessels of the house have been brought in before you, and you, your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and a god of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know. But the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways you have not honored. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parsin. And this is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians.
Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar the Chaldean was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Let's pray. Father, this is your word. It's been given to us. It's a gift given to us to speak to us. And Lord, we want to pray that these words would speak life to places where there's deadness. Lord, we want to pray that you would reveal Jesus Christ to us through this passage. And Lord, we say that we're ready to hear what you want to say to us this morning. We're ready to respond to you. We pray, Holy Spirit, come and meet with us like you did during our time of worship. Come and meet with us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at three characters this morning. We're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar. The first four chapters of the book of Daniel talk about Nebuchadnezzar. We looked at what happened last week, which is recounted in this story. Nebuchadnezzar was the one who had power. He had conquered a vast empire. And as we read in today's story, he was the one who could command and make people do what he wanted to do. He was in charge of a great empire. He had achieved incredible things. The buildings that had been built in Babylon, it was probably the greatest city of that time. Incredible buildings, Hanging Gardens of Babylon, all that sort of stuff. He had achieved so much. When God humbled him, his heart grew proud. And he was like, look at this vast kingdom I have made. And God brought him to his knees. He was out eating grass with the ox and the wild donkeys. And when God humbled him, Nebuchadnezzar responded. He responded to God. He recognized who God was. But the problem was he never really lived by faith. We hear time and time again, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar responds to God. He responds to a revelation of God. But he never actually lives by faith. He never actually comes to that point where he says, actually, I'm going to live for God. He just recognizes that there's this sort of power above him, and he sort of pays homage to it, but doesn't really recognize, hey, I've got to live for God. Belshazzar, his son, probably his son-in-law. We talk about family traits, and pride was an issue for Belshazzar. Now, the thing for him was he had this vast kingdom. He had power. He was probably in a power-sharing relationship with one of his uncles. But he'd inherited it. He hadn't achieved this. He'd just inherited this kingdom. He'd actually achieved very little in his time. And he defied God. What he did by calling out these gold goblets that were taken from the house of God in Jerusalem, what he'd done was defying of God. No other ruler would do this. He recognized that he was in a position of power and wanted to kind of push it a bit further and show how good he was. He defied God, and judgment comes. The writing on the wall. And for us, he was judged. And what happens, this is well accounted, what happens is while he's drinking, while he's throwing this party, the Medes have diverted the river that runs through the city of Babylon. The only way into the city was through under the walls, where the river went under the walls and there were grates. And the Medes and the Persians, they diverted the river away from the city. While he's drinking, celebrating, having fun, defying God, they've diverted the river and no one's noticed. And they walk under the wall and they come and they kill him that same night. And this serves a warning to us. serves a warning to our world, to the generations around who are too busy drinking and enjoying themselves to recognize that there's a day of judgment coming. He didn't recognize the danger. He just thought he was in control. And actually, there's a day of judgment coming. And what's written on the wall actually applies to everyone. Mene. God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought your kingdom to an end. God has numbered our days. None of us are going to live forever. God has numbered our days. Secondly, Tekel. You've been weighed in the balance and found deficient or found wanting. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. All have been weighed and found wanting. Everyone. Everyone who's ever lived. Perez, your kingdom is divided. Your kingdom's given to another. Actually, Jesus spoke about putting treasure in heaven where moth and rust won't decay it. Actually, what happens at the end of our lives is our goods, our worldly wealth, all of those things, they go to others. They're not ours. And all of these things point us to Jesus Christ. It points us to Him. Our days may be numbered on earth, but because of Jesus, because He's alive, we can live with Him. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a great passage. It says, if the dead are not raised, and if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile. Being here this morning, if Christ is not alive, if He didn't conquer sin, if He didn't conquer the grave, we're wasting our time. We might as well have stayed in bed. We might as well be doing something else. But, he says in verse 20, but in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by one man came death, by Adam, by one man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, the first to come alive, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Our days are numbered, but actually the decision we make about Jesus determines our eternal destiny. We've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. We fall short of God's glory. Well, you know what? Jesus died because we all fall short of his glory. He died, he took away the sins. He died for the sins of the world, for the things wrong we've done, for the ways we've fallen short. He died for those on the cross so that we could find life, an eternal life in him. Perez, the question for us today is, will we live for his kingdom? Called this series, One Thing Remains. One thing remains. The kingdom of God remains. That picture of the mountain in chapter 2. It's growing. It will remain. All other kingdoms will fall away. They're like chaff blown away in the wind. So we come to Daniel. We've got three people in this story, really. Daniel finds himself as God's representative. He's the one who shows this pagan nation, shows this nation that's far away from God, he shows them what God is doing in their time. He speaks before kings, and he shapes a nation. And they keep talking about his spirit. He has a spirit of the gods. He has the Holy Spirit. He's empowered by the Spirit. And there's three things that I think really shape his life. And the first is what we looked at in chapter 1. It's his purity. When he's told, you must eat the king's food, he says, actually, no, I won't eat the food that's sacrificed to idols. I won't drink the king's wine. I'll live differently. And he manages to convince those who could put him to death. He managed to convince them, look, test us. Test us for 10 days. See what that looks like. And it's at that point where he stands for something that then he makes a stand for his faith, and everything flows from that. The second thing is he seeks God. We see it in Daniel 2, and we're going to see it the week after in chapter 6. He seeks God. And the other thing is he's faithful, and we see that again in... But we see that time and time again. He's a faithful servant. He works hard. In chapter 6, which we'll come to in a couple of weeks' time, we're told that those who want to bring him down can find no reason to bring him down because he's faithful. He's hardworking. And I want to talk to you this morning. I want to raise your expectation because God has something for each one of us to do. God has saved you for a purpose. He saved you to do things for his kingdom. He saved you to be like a Daniel. You may not stand before kings. You may. I don't know. I don't know what God's got in store for you. You may. You may stand before people in high places. You may not. But God has got a purpose to use you for his kingdom, to bring his light in, to bring life to dark places. And if you can work on those three, wow. God can use you in powerful ways. And I want to introduce to you two things that we're starting to look at as a church. But I want to also encourage you to start dreaming. You know, COVID's been a tough time, hasn't it? But we found ourselves as a church in a new season that I have felt an incredible release. And it's because we've now got use of our building. It's sad that the preschool had to finish. That's sad. But actually, it's opened up a new opportunity for us. Week by week, at the minute, this building sits empty until we come on Sundays. And now's the time to start dreaming. What does God want us to do in these days? How does God want us to meet the needs of the community around us, to see his kingdom come, to see lives changed? And I'm going to introduce you to two things, but there may be things that God's laid on your heart that you're thinking, I've been burning with a passion for this for years, and I'd like to see something happen. And now's the time to be talking and dreaming about what God's got in store for us. The first thing is a community garden. Now, we've got a lovely site here, and there's not lots of green places on this estate. When the new blocks went up, the grass over there disappeared. Lots of the grassy spaces have gone. And we've got a great site here. I love seeing the kids run around and use our site because it's a space that they feel safe and that they can play. But we've got an idea. Now, a lady who lives not far from here, just over the road, has been involved in setting up community garden at Midfield School, which is just opposite home base on the bypass, sort of up the hill there. And she's been speaking to us. She's got a vision for a community garden, and I feel it falls in line with our vision as a church to make an impact on the community. Now, what would happen is the space outside the kitchen area that once was grass and now looks a bit more like a dust bowl because of years of kids playing on it, we'd look to set that up as a garden. We'd grow vegetables, we'd grow flowers, we'd grow, I don't know, the ideas are there. I'm not a major gardener. But we'd grow things that people from the community could be involved in growing, learning how to garden, help harvest it. It can be used to be eaten. We maybe have some benches, make a space where people can sit and be. I don't know, the options are quite endless, really. But I want to know if in this room, if online, if this is something that's burning in the hearts of our people. Because actually, we need people who are going to say, actually, yeah, well, okay, once a week I'm going to come and I'm going to play my part. I'm going to help with the garden, but not because I like gardening, but because I love people. I want to meet the people who are going to come. I want to show them what God's love is. I want to be part of what's going on. And so I'm putting it to you this morning. This is something we'd like to do.
The lady who I'm talking about knows someone in Clarion Housing, and we can probably get some funding to set this up and get started. But I want to know, in the church, are we up for this journey? Are we up for doing something that will have an impact on this community? So, I'm going to leave that with you. But if you know, hey, I'm up for this, I see that God could use me with my gardening skills, with my passion for people, God could use me, then come and talk to me, because we want to set up a bit of a working group who are going to help to put together this the proposal that we'll send off. But I want to know, are you up for this? I've spoken to Paul Wright. He said, yeah, use the site. That's great. So the leadership team, the directors, are happy for us to go on this journey. So the question is, are you wanting to be involved? Are you wanting to be involved in this? The second thing, I said the building's empty all week. I mean, that's only in the garden. Now we're talking inside. This has sort of come out of nowhere, really, but Massimo used to work up in town, and obviously with what's happened, that's no longer happening. Not so many people going up in town. And he's creating a business that's more local, but suddenly he's felt this sort of stirring in his heart to see something that really impacts on the community, something that will help people who can't afford to go to the gym, who won't be able to access some of the things that are already there, but will help people to get fitter, help mental health, help general well-being, and to use us, to use this building. Now this, we'll obviously need to apply for funding. There's probably restrictions on who we could use to actually train people because of various health and safety and that sort of stuff. But I want to share this with you because this is exciting. I'm excited about what God has in store for us. In behind this door, you've probably never been behind that door. Anyone been behind that door? Oh, a few people, not that many. It's a mystery behind that door. We've never been allowed. I had never been allowed in there until about, I don't know, about half a year ago, 6 months ago, when there was water coming in. That was the preschool storage cupboard. And I tell you what, it's a big space in there. We're looking, how can we use this space to be a blessing to our community, to be used to impact on people's lives? And I'm excited for what God's got in store for us. But God's calling us to be Daniels. God's calling us to be those who see the opportunities that are before us and say, I'm going to build for God's kingdom. I'm going to live for his kingdom. I might have my own frailties, my own insecurities, but I'm going to take steps of faith to see how God's going to use me in this time. Who's up for that? Who's up for doing that? I'm excited. There's a few of you. I'm hoping some more. God calls us to shine our lights. He doesn't save us just so that we wait in the waiting room until he returns and heaven comes and there you go. God calls us now, and he calls us now with a purpose to make an impact on the communities in which we live. He calls us to shine our lights brightly for him. And we look at these other characters, these other kings, and we just think, what a waste of a life. Daniel didn't waste his life. And I want to encourage you, God is giving dreams and visions of the things that he wants to do and the ways he wants to use you. And you may think, that's crazy, that could never happen. Now's the time to dream. Now's the time to say, hey, I want to get involved. I want to give my time to help see people's lives changed by the power of the gospel. And most of that happens through friendship first, and then those conversations and that journey of faith can happen. So I want to encourage you. I'm excited. I'm very excited for what God's got in store for us. I just think, what an opportunity. I think the community fridge has opened our eyes to new ways that we can meet with the community. We've got the job club. We've got other things that we're looking, how can we help and how can we be a blessing? That's what Daniel did. Blessing. He wanted to be a blessing to the city of Babylon. How can we be a blessing? I want to encourage you. Start dreaming. If you want to be involved in the community garden particularly, speak to me. Come and speak to me at the end. I'll be outside in the rain. Come and say, I'm in.
I invite Lydia, and we're going to sing the song, Everyone Needs Compassion. We all need God's compassion. We all need Jesus. Our days are numbered. We all need Jesus. We all found wanting in those balances. We all need Jesus. But Jesus calls us, he saves us, he redeems us, he restores us, so that we can let our light shine, so that we can be used for his glory and his kingdom and see this world changed. Because there's no hope. There's no hope apart from Jesus Christ and what he's doing in this world. And I want to encourage you. I'm going to just take this time to maybe ask God, how do you want me to shine my light? Where do you want me to shine my light? Just respond to him as we sing.